My name is Rebecca Michael. I'm the Advocacy Manager for the Independent Center, and I'm with
Daniel Ratcliffe, the Benefits Coordinator of the Independent Center.
And you are listening to our Real Empowerment Podcast with the Independent Center. Yay! We really do need like clapping something.
Yeah.
We've had this conversation a couple times of needing buttons to represent our feelings, because you can't really see us, obviously, because it's a podcast, but we really need to have...
You gotta ask Keegan to hook us up. I'm still waiting on my all red M&Ms.
Oh, that's a new one on
that
me.
That was my request.
Oh, okay.
You didn't get the memo?
No.
Okay.
It requires you to email me, and that's a whole nother conversation.
That's the next podcast.
Our interpersonal relationship and the lack thereof. Gotcha. Okay. So we are actually joined by one of our board members for the Independent Center, which is really cool because we haven't had a board member come in and talk to us about not only how you got to the Independent Center, but just you as a person and identifying with a disability and what that looks like for us. So we're really excited to have you. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, thank you for having me. My name is Clay Martin. I work with RE/MAX Real Estate Group here in town. And like they said, I am a board member with the Independent Center.
Very cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Yay. So we can talk about anything that you want, buying houses if you want, or, you know.
I'm going to have to get your card. I'm actually looking for a house now.
Are you really? Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I'll give you my card before we leave.
Awesome.
And we'll make sure we put all of Clay's contact information into the podcast description so that hopefully when people listen, they go, hey, someone who identifies in my tribe.
Yeah.
Let's throw him the business.
I love that. Like the tribe, like small group in town. I mean, people connect with who they connect with.
Yeah.
And it makes your job hard when you try to force it and fit into a different group.
Right.
But just connect with who you connect with and let that play out.
And plus seeing that a person with a disability is thriving in an environment that isn't as conducive with being a person with a disability being successful.
Mm-hmm.
Will only empower others to say, hey, I can do that. You can do it. And I need to buy a house. So you kind of understand what I need. Yes. So that's really, it's really cool to have a board member that knows that stuff. So yay. So let's start with where you're from, what you do, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. A little background on me. Mm-hmm. I'm from Lexington, Kentucky. Okay. I joke around with people out here and tell them I'm on the right side. I'm from the right side of the Mississippi.
You truly are. Okay.
Literally. Kind of being a smart aleck there when I say that, and they threaten me, that this is the best side.
It is the best side.
It is the best side. The Rocky Mountains are beautiful, and people are active, and it's a fun, fun place to live, and people are kind.
Cool.
But I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky, born and raised there. All of my family is back there besides my brother and my nieces. It's a beautiful place to live. Green grass everywhere, rolling hills. But I had the opportunity to come to Colorado, and it's just been a blessing to live here and take advantage of everything Colorado has to offer.
Yeah.
After high school, I went to Ohio and played football for a couple of years. And then after graduating college, when I actually came to Colorado, so I've been out here now for in August will be 6 years.
Oh, wow.
I used my degree and worked for the local YMCA. A couple friends of mine were in real estate, and I saw a couple paychecks and was like, that job's so easy. I'm going to jump into that and be rich. Yeah. And I was so far from the truth.
They probably had to put a lot of time into getting those kind of paychecks.
It is. It's so funny. The only people I knew here was my brother and my nieces. And my nieces weren't buying houses.
Exactly.
So I got into real estate, and like I said, it was a very difficult start.
Mm-hmm.
In college, they didn't teach you how to network.
No.
They, like in business school, they tell you need to network. You got to do this. You got to do that. So I started networking, reaching out to people that I did not know.
Yeah.
And asking to take them to coffee, learn about them, learn about their business, and then follow up from there.
Uh-huh.
And if there was a job that a dream job, it would be networking with people. I love meeting people, hearing their story, learning what they do, why they do it, how they do it.
Yeah.
And I like coffee. The more of it,
the
more
I can talk. Yeah. Yes.
But through that, I met a lot of good people, both native and, you know, transplant people that have moved here.
A lot more transplants. There's a lot than of natives.
Those. And that's kind of how I started building my business, with networking, meeting people.
Nice.
Through that, I met Tim Gore. Mm-hmm. And Tim Gore is the one that introduced me to you lovely people at the Independence Center.
Nice.
A couple other organizations I've gotten involved in came from networking, organizations I did not know they existed.
Wow.
I didn't know that I could be so passionate about something I did not know existed.
Sure.
Until I found them. Growing up, I had outside help, through Voc Rehab and other nonprofits and teachers and coaches,
mm-hmm.
that helped me get hearing devices and
sure.
speech class and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I knew I want to, if I ever have the opportunity to help out when I get older, I will. But then I kind of forgot about it. You get distracted with life, trying to make a living. And
Football.
And yeah. dating.
School and right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, Tim introduced me to this group, and I was like, that's a perfect fit. How closely related that is. That's kind of how I grew up and got to Colorado got to meet you guys.
Well, you're a transplant.
A transplant.
Like I said, there's more transplants than there are of natives.
Aren't we all?
No, born and raised. Oh, where are you
from? I represent Philadelphia. That's my birthplace.
Okay.
But I was raised in North Carolina.
Are you an Eagles fan?
Am I an Eagles fan? Come on. Eagles, Flyers, Sixers.
Love it.
It's me.
What part of North Carolina?
So I grew up in this little small town called Laurinburg, North Carolina. It's on the border of South Carolina. You literally can walk there. Shout out to Scotland High School. That was my high school.
What was your mascot? I love asking this.
So, we are the Fighting Scots.
Okay.
I was in marching band.
Okay.
We wear kilts. Real men wear kilts.
Kilt.
And our
I love
mascot
it.
Was individual in full Scottish war dress with bagpipes.
Nice.
And we were the state champions, I believe, in 2010. We won the state championship.
Nice.
Shout out to the Fighting Scots.
Nice.
And you play bagpipes?
No.
No.
I was going to say, wait basketball. A minute, how do I not know about this talent?
No, that's a whole other podcast.
Right. So I was in the marching band, and I played pit percussion, snare, and the bass drum.
Okay.
Yep. And then I played concert as well. So,
cool.
Yeah, it was all good. So for you, you spoke shortly about about your disability.
Uh-huh.
I want to really, just jump deep into that. So, could you describe your disability?
Yeah. So, I have what's known as a sensory neural hearing loss. Not to be exact, but it's roughly 60-40 in one ear and 50-50 in the other ear.
Okay.
My weakness is high-pitched sound.
Okay.
And I didn't realize this until a few years ago. My audiologist applied high pitch to females and kids. So when my fiance is like, you have selective hearing, you can't. I'm like, actually, there's evidence to support that I don't hear women and children as well as men.
Can I get that?
Oh my gosh, no. I'm just saying. That's hilarious.
That can be kind of convenient. There's a big silver lining to that cloud.
Right? I play that card a lot.
That's good to know.
Yeah, it is. So the professional term is sensory neural hearing loss.
Okay.
Certain types of hearing. I think I have to wear a behind-the-ear receiver for that type of hearing loss.
Okay.
With that, with the high-pitched sound comes a byproduct of, slight speech impediment, hearing certain sound and tone with letters and words.
Mm-hmm.
I was born that way. And they didn't find out, until, my delayed speech until about age three.
Wow.
And I actually wore hearing aids. I was forced to wear them,
Mm-hmm.
Until I got to about middle school.
Okay.
And then I can hear without them, just not very well. I do a great job of reading lips. Okay. But I started caring so much about those pretty girls in middle school. I didn't want to be the guy that stuck out.
Sure.
So I stopped wearing them. Oh. I started adapting, sitting in the front row.
Sure.
You know, played football in middle school, high school, college without hearing aid, never heard a whistle blow. You know,
wow.
Had a few late hits or a lot of late hits. But I tell you, I always kept going back to them when I got sick.
Yes.
I would get ear infections and sinus congestions, and it really decreases my hearing. It makes it harder to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd always put them back in. So when I moved out here, I took them into an audiologist to get them tuned up.
Gotcha.
And he said, man, these are antiques. And I was like, what?
There's
no,
all these cool technology.
They're not that bad.
Right.
So he gave me a pair to try out for 2 weeks. They were brand new.
Uh-huh.
The sound quality was so much better than the ones that I had.
Mm-hmm.
They also had Bluetooth capability.
Ooh.
So I could eat lunch by myself and listen to an audiobook.
Oh, that's
my
nice.
Favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm all about the audiobook.
Yeah, shout out to
Audible. I hate having to read.
Yeah.
I actually gave up the radio in my truck, like Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and I only listen to book.
Yeah.
It's a much better way to enjoy your
Spend
drive.
Spend your time. Yeah.
You guys talked about it briefly before in the podcast before, the finding yourself at different phases in life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got those hearing aids, I was like, wow.
Describe that moment. When you put those, the new hearing aids in, describe that moment.
You know what it feels like to be stressed out, like you have a ton of weight on your shoulders, and
mm-hmm.
you know, the minute you find out the good news, whatever you want to apply that to, it's just a weight lifted off your shoulders. Well, when you're not wearing your assistive devices, whatever it may be,
mm-hmm.
it's a constant strain. It's a constant stress that's applied.
Yeah.
Like, I joke with people, but I say, like, when I'm not wearing my hearing aids, I'm trying to hear so hard that I'm squinting, which does not help at all.
Right.
But when you wear your hearing aid, you're not squinting, you're not cupping your ear, you're not applying unnecessary stress to your body, your ears, your eyes, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got that, I was like, wow. Little thing, bird chirping. I'd never heard that. You know, hadn't heard that in so long.
Yeah.
Locking and unlocking my truck with a little clicker.
Right.
That makes a beep that I didn't know it made because I didn't wear hearing aids when I started driving. Walking on a hike, I knew there was a crunch underneath of my feet, but
uh-huh.
I'd never heard the sound
crunch.
Of the,
oh,
the crunch.
Wow, okay.
So it was really, you know, some of that stuff was overwhelming. Some
mm-hmm.
of it was amazing.
Right.
Having tear moments where you like, oh my gosh, I can hear, and it brings tears to your eyes. You ever had those moments?
I can't say that I did have any tear moments,
okay.
But it some silly moments where, like, I
gotcha.
Literally just locked my truck 15 times, and my fiance's like, stop it. Give
exactly.
me your keys. And I'm
yeah.
like, baby, did you know that it made a... She's like, I've known that forever.
And now you've explored it enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your key timer's done.
Yeah.
You could have said you didn't hear and just kept going.
Yeah, just kept going.
I just can't tell if it's locking or not.
Are you sure it's locked?
It made me realize, you know, I tell people about this. You know, I was 26, 27 at that time.
Uh-huh.
And I was really okay with new people meeting me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
Right.
But all those, my prime years, my high school and college years, I missed out on so much because I was worried so much about
mm-hmm.
what other people thought,
yeah.
which really meant nothing. It means nothing.
Nothing
right.
at all.
And I with, like, younger kids and even some adults right now, like, putting so much focus on the stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know? And when you... That is a bring a tear to your eye moment. When you realize, wow,
yeah.
as long as I'm happy, everybody else is going to be happy. And those
right.
that aren't, don't matter.
Yeah.
yeah.
They don't care about your happiness. It
right.
really
yeah.
Is it necessary for them to be in your life?
Yeah. And a lot of that mental yeah. stuff was me, not them.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I was worried of... Build it up in your head like, oh, they're going to think this.
Yeah.
Right.
But my friends are my friends. They're going to like me and love me for whoever I am, however I look,
right.
however I talk, whatever it may be.
Right.
And that's really special.
Yeah, the cool thing is that we talk about this a lot in disability awareness training, but also just in our conversations within the center and with our consumers about removing your own personal stigma and attitude that you impose on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of growth to have to kind of own when you have been constantly told or made to feel by actions of others that you're not good enough because you wear hearing aids, or you're not good enough because you use an accessibility device that you know is gray or whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
You know, and so when individuals come in and they're accepted for who they are and they use their accessibility devices, and it's not an issue, you know.
Right.
The building is already created for whatever accessibility device there is.
Yep.
So you don't have to worry about that. And I am really surprised by when consumers come in and go, oh, no one's making a big deal about my accessibility device.
Exactly.
They're like, okay, I fit.
Yes.
I fit in this group.
Yeah.
And that is kind of an aha moment that makes people take pause.
Definitely.
And it's really cool.
Definitely.
Well, I think it's cool. It's, you know, it's 2019 and a lot of things have gotten better for people with disability.
Mm-hmm.
Technology alone helped that.
Yeah.
I think the latest statistic was technology doubles like every 12 to 13 months.
Yeah.
Think about that. It doubles in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's getting better.
Right.
But that's part one. Part two is educating the people. And I use this just to kind of explain it to people that aren't involved or they're not closely connected to somebody with a certain type of disability.
Mm-hmm.
But you go into like nonprofits and look at the ones that raise the most money. A lot of those are animal related because every household has a dog or a cat
they can relate
to it.
Yes.
But not every household has a deaf sibling, parent, distant family member, or blind or wheelchair bound or whatever it may be.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you educate, the more they know.
Right.
And the more it comes back to help.
Right.
And I truly, and I love dogs. I have a dog. I probably love him too much. But the fact is, like, when you go out and raise money, you want to get into people's emotion and connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
You bring up a dog, most people are going to be able to connect. You bring up a certain type of disability, they may know one or two people.
Right.
But it's not going to be emotional for them because they're not closely related to that person.
Right. And that can be kind of a struggle for agencies like ours, where we cross disability. So we represent every possible list of disabilities that are out there.
Yep.
And our staff members represent such a diverse disability spectrum that it really is hard to kind of get that many people behind the disability community because they want to label it, you know, deaf community or blind community or individuals being on the autism spectrum. They kind of want to put a label on the type of disability that we represent. And then we say, well, we're cross disability. We don't, we're not labeling anybody. We're just saying we want to help anybody who comes into our doors. I love animals. I work with a local rescue and totally get you throw a cute dog out on Facebook, holy cow, the money just rolls in. It's amazing. You're like, how does that happen?
I need to get a cute dog on Facebook.
but when you put someone in a wheelchair on Facebook, it's like, okay, okay, it's what
one,
do you yep. what
one
do you
glance,
want me to do
keep
with that
going.
Just keep on moving.
Yep.
So really kind of changing not only the perspective in order to get more funds to help more people, we have to, you know, kind of adapt the story to the who you're speaking to, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So.
Kind of like not too long ago, the I think it was 2 months ago, the curb cut got passed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you advertise that on Facebook or push it.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of having the conversation that, like, the three of us would talk, uh-huh. people are like, it's garbage that there's so much construction going on. And you're like, I do understand that. But
I get that, but the
think
access.
About, you know, being confined to a wheelchair crossing mm-hmm. the street yeah. and dealing with the construction. Like, there's a bigger picture.
Right.
It's not just, you know,
it's
the...
It's not all about you.
And really, we strive to look at how to educate better. And, you know, the cool thing is about the IC is when we start adapting and changing our trainings to be more focused on the group that we're presenting to, mm-hmm. We get more buy-in.
Yeah.
So we began asking questions of the group that we're going to present to. You know, what type of disabilities have you interacted with?
Yeah.
Would you like to know more about? Because we don't want to just present to present. That's not really the most valuable time.
Right.
The most valuable use of our time.
Right.
We want to present for value. And then that means that they're going to take that education and be able to apply it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And so really changing how we viewed educating our community, because that's right. one of our goals is to educate individuals in our community, and not only the individuals who are disabled, but their family members, so that the community as a whole can thrive. And mm-hmm. so if you change how you present this information to get more value, mm-hmm. then hopefully we can get there and really that's do the goal. Education. Because, yes, I'm there. I am not a big fan of construction, but understanding the reason behind it,
mm-hmm.
that down the road, someone is going to have access, yeah. and it could be you.
Yes, absolutely.
Possibly.
Yeah.
And Clay, let me ask you, are you the only individual in your immediate family that identifies with a disability, or do you have other family members?
I am. Well... My brother with contact, you know, contact and glasses.
I hate on people that wear contacts. I just hate on them because
if I ever need contacts, I could buy four pair and it'll last me for four four cycles. I mean, I see the value in that.
But yeah, I'm the only one that has a hearing impairment. Okay.
Sure.
You know, that wears hearing aids, or that, you know, ever got. Pulled out of class to, you know, go to, well, I think actually both of us went to speech therapy, but,
okay.
You know, as far as wearing, you know, hearing aids and stuff like that, absolutely.
So what was that like growing up in a family of individuals that were hearing and you having difficulties in that area? Could you describe, like, what was that like for you growing up?
You know, it was actually really good. Looking back, I mean, I had so many people that spent time and energy and effort helping me, being patient with me, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Parents were great. Brother was great. But a lot of it was mental, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are there 29 kids in this class and I'm the 30th one that, you know, wearing something a little bit different, mm-hmm. answering those questions, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some people ask... they don't mean to ask it in a rude way, but sometimes they do.
Right.
And, you know, your confidence might be riding at 100. And then somebody asks you certain question and you just bottom out and you're like, man.
I was good.
And you know, just ask me differently.
Yeah.
But I always, I try to understand, like, people don't know what they don't know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's on me. And again, up until a certain point, you can get mad and get emotional or get hurt or get upset.
Right.
Or you can take that as a chance to explain and educate.
Right.
And now I just laugh with it.
Yeah,
I'm like, whoa.
Me too.
First of all, ask the question this way. Second, here's what's up.
Yeah.
Three, what's your name? Because I'm going to pick on you next time I find something out.
Yeah, exactly. You just opened yourself up.
Yeah.
So you described college. You went to college in Ohio. Did you go to... Which college did you go to? In
I went to a small school, a D3 school, like a glorified high school, in Wilmington, Ohio.
Okay.
And our mascot was the Quakers.
The Quakers?
Yeah, Quakers.
I can relate. Pennsylvania, I'm with you.
Okay.
So, and how did you get into football? What was that driving force as an individual with a disability, where some people may have your exact same disability and say, I can't play football because I'm hard of hearing? What made you say, ha, not me, I'm playing football?
You know, I can't even remember how I got into it. I was so young. But my dad was a good football player. And, you know, like most kids, they want to be like their dad. And actually, a friend of his coached my Civitan League or Pee Wee League, whatever you want to call it. And I realized now, looking back, I had a lot of built-up anger and emotion. Mm. And there was actually a sport that allows you to take out that anger and emotion and not get in trouble.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just I think it gave me a feeling, you know, that I hadn't really felt before. And maybe it was just releasing all that built-up energy and, you know, emotion, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it helped that I was, like, 5'7" when I was 10. You know,
man.
I'm also 5'7" now, and I'm 30. So,
but nice.
I might be exaggerating a bit, but I was a big kid, and you know, I was a decent athlete at that age, nice. And what just kind of maintained that level of athletic ability, you know, throughout middle school, high school, college, and I loved it. You kind of adapt, like I said. Can't really hear the whistle, but you can watch the ball when it snapped. Mm-hmm. You can pick up on body language when people are slowing down.
Right.
Most of the time. it was just a great sport to play. Mm-hmm. The camaraderie of having, you know, 70, 80, 90 teammates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not just about you. It's about the team. And I think that was the hardest part when I quit playing football. You know, you kind of go through a phase of, I don't know if you call it depression, but change. And you're like, what the heck is, what's going on?
Right.
And it's only about you now. Like, you don't have the motivation of your teammates. You got to self-motivate yourself to
right.
Go to work, go to class, you know, work out, you know, whatever it is you need to do.
Yeah. Right.
But, yeah, football is just one of those things I was passionate about, fell in love with, and continue to play up until – I mean, I wasn't able to play anymore.
What position did you play?
I was a linebacker.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're like, bring on the person in front of me. I'm going to tackle you.
5'7" stocky guy.
Were you middle linebacker?
Both middle inside and inside and out linebacker.
Nice,
yeah.
Okay. Man. Nice.
Yep.
That's a great hitting position. Shout out to Ray Lewis, man. One of the greatest.
Right. One of the greatest.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've never played football, but I'm sure. I would probably want to work out some aggression and be a linebacker.
I'm glad that you said that because they do have a women's league here in Colorado Springs.
Yes, I've heard.
Yeah.
I've heard. So I'll have to go check it out.
So you're going to try out?
I'm not
going
to try out. I'll go check them out.
All right. I tried.
We want to go too. We want
to
go.
I would love to go.
That would be a great peer support activity to go watch them play.
I think it would. And it would give them a lot of support.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
I think where do they play? Good. Do you know?
I have no idea, but I can definitely get
you information.
He wants
to throw these random things out at me, and then we'll figure it out.
I know someone that plays in the league. I will get you in contact
with them. Okay, because I think that it would be a great opportunity for our consumers to go watch.
I would love to see women playing football. Mm-hmm. I want to see if they can hit, like, hard.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they can.
I'm sure they can. I've been hit by my mom before. I don't know if that counts.
Again, another whole podcast discussion.
I'm not crying about it. So, Clay. Great segue. Here you go.
Exactly. Oh,
shout out to mom for the hit.
Yeah. Right.
I needed it. I deserved it. Thank you, mama. I've accepted that. So, Clay, so going into real estate, what was that? Like, where did you have the... I know you described it as, hey, I had some friends that were already in it. I thought it would be an easy, you know, nice-sized paycheck regularly. But once you were immersed in the, I guess, the education of becoming a real estate agent, what motivated you to move forward with it?
So I was in a position where advancement wasn't readily available where I was. And a lot of people deal with the frustrations of being stagnant in their career field.
Right.
And it was just the timing of everything coming together of, I think everybody, well, most people, they have a desire to be an entrepreneur. They want to be a small business owner.
They want to be their own boss and tell themselves what to do.
And it all sounds good until you get into it. And then you realize it's kind of nice having a boss and having a to-do list. You do the to-do list, and then you go home.
Mm-hmm.
But it all came to me, and I was like, this is something I want to do. I don't have kids. You know, if I fail, I'm only failing myself. I'm not failing other people.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If I'm going to do it, I need to do it now. And I had this desire to do something on my own. My brother was involved in real estate, and a couple of friends were involved in real estate. And I was, you know, I had the thought, if they can do it, I can do it. Nice. Maybe I can do it better. I haven't got the better part yet, but I'm getting there. It's a work in progress.
It's a goal in front of you.
Absolutely.
Nice.
I got in real estate, and I realized that, you know, real estate is the business. It's a byproduct of the business, but the business is you're in the people business. Like, you're literally connecting with people.
Yes.
Once you connect with people, you know, they have a need and a want that you can help them fulfill.
Right.
So the more people that you connect with and provide value to, you're going to be the person they go to
right.
when they decide to buy or sell or upsize and downsize.
Yep.
And it's not all about the paycheck. The paycheck is a byproduct of providing value to people. Like, that is the business. It's yeah. connecting with people, mm-hmm. providing value for people, and being there for people all the time.
Right.
And then whenever they are ready, it's not a used car salesman type job. It's just you be there, and
right.
you wait patiently, and you provide value in ways you can outside of just asking them, are you ready to buy and sell? And, you know, if you provide enough value,
right.
And you're there enough, they will come and find you.
Nice.
It's funny. I use this line a lot that I can't hear very well, but I listen extremely well.
Nice.
'Cause I have to hyper-focus on what people are saying. And,
right.
You know, I do feel like that is a benefit that I have in real estate, is actually listening to what people say they want and what they need. And, you know, right. I go out and find that for them.
That's amazing.
That's cool. I think it's many of our talents are byproducts of adapting to our disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that my mom, shout out to moms, I guess, that my mom always taught me told me was that I have such keen way of understanding detail.
Uh-huh.
Seeing detail, understanding where the details lie. And I guess it's a good thing that within my own position of when we put on events for, you know, particular advocacy issues, or we're looking at legislative laws and the details that go along with, you know, passing a law and what that looks like, and being able to educate detailed disability in intersections and stuff like that. That was I had to adapt to that, because I had to be very detailed in what I saw, because I only had one eye.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so when you say, you know, you may not hear well, but you listen, you know, I think that's really important, because, you know, you have to listen, not only in order for you to understand what someone's asking from you, but also that creates a connection that somebody really is hearing what I'm saying and what
absolutely.
I need. So, yeah, that's really cool.
It is. Cool. I heard a quote in a book the other day. I've shared it a lot recently, but
mm-hmm.
It's by Conrad Hall, I believe. It says there's a certain type of beauty in the imperfection.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's so true. Like, mm-hmm. It might look like a downfall,
mm-hmm.
but when you really think about it, like, you're picking up some type of beauty in the imperfection, you know, like hyper-focusing. Now, I might not be able to multitask that well. Like,
right.
when I watch TV, I'm watching TV.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not paying attention to anything that's happening in the background, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But it is neat when you're lacking something. You have to hyper-focus to be aware of what you're reading and what you're listening to and that kind of thing.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Nice. All right. And so just to touch on the whole real estate, situation.
Uh-huh.
For individuals that are living with disabilities that have some income but tend to not have loads of access to extra income or the ability to save due to certain programs that they may utilize,
mm-hmm.
what would be some great advice for individuals on fixed income to put themselves in the best position to purchase their first home?
I always recommend this to whether you have disabilities or not. There are programs out there to help people get into homes. For first-time home buyers, And that's called a CHAFA, C-H-A-F-A program. Okay. Down payment assistance, that kind of thing. Okay. You can literally get into a house with very little to low startup cost or down payment money. But it will be rolled into the interest rate, which is not, it's a really good program. A lot of people utilize it. Awesome. I think people, the biggest issue there would be being on a fixed income. Mm-hmm. If you're able to, make that type of mortgage payment.
Right.
The opportunities are there that are available to help you get into a home. What I think is not there are the funds and the programs available to help reconfigure that house to accommodate a person, depending on what their disabilities are.
Sure.
The Independence Center has programs that accommodate, but correct me, I think it's somewhere around like 40 to 60 people a year,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is not enough. Right. It's putting a dent in things for mm-hmm. sure, but yes. Those are only 40 to 60 people out there that are getting what's needed, as opposed to, I'm willing to guess, thousands mm-hmm. of people in El Paso County that need the same thing.
Yes.
That's the issue, I think. Yeah. Like, I know, like, myself and lenders that can help anybody get into a home mm-hmm. with low down payment.
Right.
But if you're in a wheelchair and you're living in a 1940s, 1950s home, my hallway, my bathroom, my kitchen is not very accommodating at all.
Right.
I don't have the answer for that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I wish I did. Mm-hmm. We'd be all over that.
Right.
Gotcha. But yeah, as far as getting us into a house, there's programs out there. There are lenders out there that can be very helpful for anybody with or without disabilities.
Right. And how accommodating are, from your perspective, are real estate agents? Like, for instance, right now looking for a home, but I can't drive to the homes that I would like to check out. Is it inappropriate for me to ask my real estate agent, hey, would you mind picking me up? Because I'm legally blind. I don't have a license. Could you drive me to this home? Because if I took a Lyft, it would cost me like $30 to get there.
And you're probably going to look at 20 to 30 homes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a competitive market out there.
Yeah.
Right.
Chances are you're not going to look at one home and buy it. You might look at one and like it. Right. But it's a competitive market. There's going to be 8 or 10 other people out there that like it.
Yep.
To answer your question, completely acceptable to ask that question. There are, I think, over 4,000 real estate agents in El Paso County. I'd say half of those are part-timers.
Okay.
People that just do it for fun, extra income.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably the other half, close to it, are full-timers like myself.
Okay.
I would like to think that most of those full-timers are willing to take that extra time to help out
mm-hmm.
And fill that need. But I will say there are people out there that look at the bottom line. It's more time and effort for them that they don't want to put in
mm-hmm.
And they don't want to do it.
Right.
But I always think you got to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, whatever.
Right.
Ask a couple more times and somebody's mm-hmm. going to say yeah.
Yeah.
And those are the people you want to work with.
Yeah.
It's there's a lot of people out there that can do this job, but there's few out there that do it well.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think I'm one of those people.
Gotcha. Nice.
I'll come pick you up, take you a look at houses.
Nice. I think you to that.
The way that I look at it, because I've had two real estate agents that I've worked with in Colorado Springs specifically, and they actually like to drive you.
Nice.
Because there's two things. You're going to show up. If they're going to drive you there. And then two, it gives them an opportunity to continue that relationship
mm-hmm.
building and talking with you and getting you to the location. And it's really nice to pull up to a property and go, keep driving, not getting out. And then you just keep driving. So I would, really challenge someone if they're looking for a real estate agent and you're getting the, no, I don't do that. Or, it's easier for me to meet you there versus let me pick you up and let's continue that relationship to find the person who wants to continue to build and maintain that relationship. Just keep asking the question and once someone will say yes and there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great information.
Yeah.
That a lot of people may not right. have a clue is even out there.
Right, right.
Like, this whole experience has been new for me as far as attempting to buy a home, where there's so many questions that come across, and you're like, well, do I want to flip a home? Do I want to buy a home to live in as my permanent residence? Do right. I want to buy a home and buy a fixer-upper? Or right. do I want a turnkey home? Like, there's so many questions. And if you do not have the correct real estate agent, you could possibly miss out on getting the answers to that question.
Right.
Or you can Google it.
Right. So, just to close up, how do people get a hold of you, Clay?
Yeah, so you can get a hold of me. Call or text at 719-331-0281. Or you can email me at buybuywithclay@gmail.com. I have a website also that's buywithclay.com. And or you can come to my office. but give me a call first to make sure I'm there.
Gotcha. Awesome.
That's the best way, call, text, or email.
Well, we can definitely add that to the podcast description so that with the disclaimer of contact me first before you just show up, because they may not be actually at the building physically.
Right.
I may be showing houses, driving my client somewhere.
You're driving my people around.
Accommodating.
Exactly. Being very accommodating.
Yeah, man. So, We're gonna close this thing out.
Yes, we are. All right. So, if you are looking to, you know, share or subscribe as preferred, our podcast, you can go out to our website that is through Podomatic, and it's Real Empowerment. If you can search, or you can go out to our YouTube channel, which is Real Empowerment as well, and you can follow that website, and then you will get notified every time a new episode goes out, and that's the accessible captioned version on YouTube.
Yeah.
You're welcome to come visit us at our center. That's 729 South Tejon here in Colorado Springs. This the phone number is 719-471-8181, and our website is www.theindependentcenter.org. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's why I opted out.
Yeah, he's like, no, you can do the close.
You can do it.
Well, Clay, thanks so much for coming out and talking to us. And we will definitely give you some kudos and get you out there on our website. So that
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me.
Connecting
the
you.
The setup was fun. The talk was fun.
Nice.
Listening to the previous one was fun.
Good deal.
Everything about it was great.
We may have to have you back again.
Yes.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. Happy to help and talk in any way.
Sure.
Awesome.
All right.
After
you
help me buy my house.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
We'll come and talk about that whole process.
That experience.
How to deal with Daniel.
Right.
Great.
How good are you at describing?
Exactly. Well, I'm Rebecca Michael.
I'm Daniel Ratcliffe.
Thank you so much.